always stocked up. So I'm always two behind. I had two nice lessons from last time, and I couldn't find them for the life of me. Me and wife tore the house apart. I go, they're in a fold like a share. And I looked, and she looked. My wife, we could find things. I lose. I always blame her, of course, you know. Can't find something, you know what I mean? So, you know, it goes. So I couldn't find it. So I'm looking around. I go, well, Lord, what would you have me go? And no doubt the Lord prompted me. I ran across something here that I found to be very interesting. An old letter I wrote to my one of my old pastors, and it's a great Bible study. I said, this would be a great Bible study, because you know why? I, as you probably know, I'm big on application. You know, application means it's great to use scripture, but when you apply something, what happens? It helps you grow. Amen? Isn't the most important thing we have in life our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, bar none? So you know how you do that? You have to, Lord is working. The worst thing you do is sit in there and go, what's the Lord doing? Not hearing from him. You know, mundane things, you know. I don't want to be mundane, but hey, you want the Lord working in your life. Amen? That's exciting. I mean, that's for the saints. So, and some of you may know this. I've always got into the Bible-believing movement pretty early on. But, you know, last church I went to before here was more of a fundamental church. And the Lord put me there for a reason, because you know why? I go, well, let's see if I can help him out. And in the back of your mind, you think you always help someone out. Amen? Sometimes you don't. But in the back of your mind, but I'm going to change those people. You know, the Lord is the one to change his hearts. Amen? But we can use people. But I mean, like, oh man, you know, nice people. But, you know, I was like an orange in a basket of apples. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're like, oh no, here comes Tim again. And, you know, and one of my bishoprics is... you know, everyone has a part of the body of Christ. I'm kind of like the guy who has to say something's not kind of right, you know. But I got a smiley face. I do a charity, right, you know. You know, remember, you know, it's like apples of gold and pitchers of silver, you know, a word fitly spoken, you know. You can say some things, you know, if you have children or whatever it is. How you say things, you know, how it comes across. So I try to have a good attitude with believers, you know. And this is just one letter amongst many, 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 many that I sent to them. But there's some good teaching in here and good doctrine. And I'll show you, you may think, well, why are you going through this? There's a very important application at the end. I mean, you know, it's called salvation in the Old Testament. But I mean, there's a great application, and there's always a reason why things are, if there's some untruth there, there's always some reason behind it, okay? So anyways, so I was at... I don't know if it was a Bible study or a preaching event, and one of the young pastors there, I'm not going to mention his name, it doesn't really make a difference, but one of the junior pastors there, he got on the Old Testament saying that, you know, we're saved the same way. You know, and I never raised my hand, but I think I always go afterwards, you know. So I go, hey, pastor, you know, this is what the Bible says. And remember, this is real important. Get this. We happen to be in a place that understands some good doctrine. What happens? Don't take that for granted. Sometimes it's harder to find to go around there. And so he kind of gave me a little hard time, and he went home and went to one of his books and took this picture. I should give it to you. Took a picture out of a book. You know, it says salvation in the Old Testament. You know, what a lot of people have today, including Israel pastors, they have parrot theology. You know what parrot theology is? They just learned something from somebody else or copied it, and they're repeating it back. It doesn't know the understanding of the rules of the scripture, how to study it, how to apply it, Lord working. It's just parrot theology. And that's why one of the reasons why church is kind of dead. Remember, I was in my study here on sound doctrine. It's just like it's parrot theology, and like, it's not even true. So he took this picture, click. And so I wrote him a 6-page letter. You know, each single thing. Why did that? That takes, hey, my time, I don't know you, but my time is valuable. I'm an older guy. See my hair, you know? And what though? You know what happens? Some of you old young over here, but the older guys, Brother Hoffman here, hey, amen. Your time is valuable. You realize it's like a big rope. The longer you get close, here's your life, so you hope, is this long. Maybe you're 60 or 50. You think, man, I can't Lord take home, I guess. But man, you know what though, man? My rope is kind of short here, you know? When you're a young whippersnacker, oh, the world's at your fingertips, right? Remember that, folks? But now as you go down here, hey, man, you know what though? Man, I'm in my 60s already. Hey, man, now look, Lord, come back. But, you know, that's kind of short. So You know what you have more important? Your time is valuable. So, you know, I'm careful, and you should be careful, of what you put your time in. The Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil, right? Your life appears like a vapor, it appears for a little while, and then vanishes away, right, in James. But that's a principle of time. And I always look at it like, if you have a vapor, you know, you like a match, try to catch that vapor. You can see it, that's like time. You know, tempest fusion, time flies. A little Latin I do know, okay? All right, so I wrote this letter, and it's got a lot of good doctrine in it, and I'm just going to go through it a little bit here. It's a great Bible study, and at the end I'll show you, I probably won't get through it today, maybe next week, but I'll show you why this stuff is very important, okay? So let me just read you the first introduction of this letter, to salvation in the Old Testament. How are Old Testament saints saved? ? They are saved the same way anyone is saved, by faith. By faith, they trusted that God would someday send a Redeemer. And that's his statement. You know, and then he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 scriptures. So I'm going to go through every one of them. And you know what, though? The point being is, if you're saved for a lot of time, you should be able to know by hearing something or reading something, it doesn't sound right, amen? You know what I'm saying? Like, guys, himbly jibbling in tongues and everything, you know, ding, 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 red flag. You ought to know that. I'm mature, you know, it's like, you know, bank, people at the bank, they know what real money's about because they deal with it all the time, right? And when a counterfeit comes in, you know what happens? They ought to, hey, this is kind of sneaky. You know, I worked for the Aragon Ballroom growing up, and it was, you know, rock and roll place, and I was in charge of hot dogs. I got promoted to the beer industry when I was 18 years old, you know, in the old days. But some people passed fake $20 bills. And it was dark. It's in there, you know. But I'm like, oh, this is a corn. This is terrible. I can't even tell the difference between a fake $20 bill, you know, and a real one. I mean, but obviously, it's a dark place. It's, you know, there's rock and roll going on, concerts. And then the thing about it is Mr. Miranda owned it. Once he reported it, he couldn't turn it in, he'd be in trouble. So they confiscate the money, and then he'd lose the money. So, but I go, this is bad counterfeit. But you know, I've seen some other ones that look pretty good. But there is counterfeit teaching and doctrine. We, as a mature saint of God, should be able to listen, know that, understand it, and what the application means. It helps our relationship in the Lord. So, anyways. So this is what the first part says, age scriptures. Let me tell you this, read this little letter I had. Dear Pastor so-and-so, Salvation in the Old Testament page sent over 12 years ago. Pastor, thank you for sending me, remember, I'm always gracious, sending me this little article explaining what some people believe about salvation in the Old Testament. I think we both would honestly want to know not what a man, you, or I say, but what say the scripture. Amen? What say scripture? What I will do in response to show you how the person that wrote this has very little knowledge about the subject, or he learned what someone else taught him. There's that paratheology, right? And never verified it with the scripture. Right? Verify it with the scripture. And when I say scripture, I am without apology referring to the King James Bible. That's a battle today. It's unfortunate. Yeah, I mean, hey, nothing's more better than me going out and talking to people. I love that. I mean, what though? Because it's nice to be able to have some little zeal and knowledge and talk to someone and see their lights come on and them trusting the Lord. Now, I know what happens is a lot of times, you know, you're part of that process. You're planting or watering. We all like to reap. I mean, it's fun to reap, right? In fact, I went with the Lloyd and John and Pastor Hoffman on Monday. We were working on some of Lloyd's crops, and Pastor Hoffman was driving the combine. We were reaping that corn. It's nice to reap. You know why? I mean, all that work that came in, plowing the field, planting, watering. Now you're reaping. It's fun to reap. And I'm like, all those dollar bills, buckets going in the bucket there. It's kind of nice. But you know what, though? I kind of came in the tail end, and I think we did 50 acres and all day. You know, I just kind of watched around and supervised a little bit. I knew whatever, you know. But it was interesting. There's a reaping going. You all want to reap, right? But you know what, though? There's a process with everything you do. So there's a law of what? Reaping or sowing and reaping in Galatians, right? You know, you plant. It takes a while sometimes for the Lord to kind of work in people's hearts and minds, right? You know, but look at your salvation or people you've known. It took sometimes weeks, months, years. Finally, oh, they get some truth in here, you know. And same thing happens with us spiritually. We get hear something, but we're not ready to receive it yet. It's too much meat for us, you know. That's why I don't give young people meat, babies to eat. You don't have a baby and put a steak down its mouth, throw it up. You give them milk, and then, you know, after milk, then you give them a little more meat. Amen? So you understand some of that there. So, getting back to my thing, I am apology. I will show you how the person that wrote the article, one page, forfeits basic Bible hermeneutics. I used to throw a little $3 word in there, to come to a private interpretation of the subject. And I quoted 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Amen? So I'm just trying to build a base. Pastor, the doctrine about salvation in the Old Testament has nothing to do with our salvation we enjoy as a born-again believer today. We agree 100%. Salvation in this age, the church age, we're saved by faith alone in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ through the death, burial, resurrection. We are 100% secure in this, and we cannot lose our salvation. We are brothers, amen. So that's a great base to be in. And amen, it's, you know, we can go to any believer anywhere in the world, and if they're truly born again, yeah, it's a fellowship there. Amen. You know, I mean, hey, it's nice that they're saved, they're born again. You know. Unfortunately, today, what we have to do is there's lots of, I call them, what brand of Christianity are you? I have to say that brand. You know, camps, whatever you call them. But we have different brands. Amen. It's unfortunate. And if you know, they go, hey Tim, you kind of believe differently. The other one, I go, well, if you all believe like me, we have all get along. Amen. You know, right? That's how I would say, you know, you're off, you know, whatever it is. But this brand, so unfortunately, you have to do that brand that you have. But you want to build a good base. And as brothers, you talk to somebody as a brother that you can, that unsaved. I mean, we say things in here in Sunday school that I would never say to unsaved world. They go over their head and like, you're a kook. So, obviously, you got to know who you're talking to, right? Amen, you know? You have to know who you're talking to. Even when a pastor preaches, you know, I mean, I don't want to hear milk toast. I like hearing some things. But one thing, you always get a little bit of meat in there. Oh, I like that. A little tidbit. You know? So kind of nice. I'm running out of time, but we're going to go with what we can today. Okay. I want to lay some simple major Bible laws that if we follow, a person will never fall into bad doctrine or at least astray. I'll show you these principles are broken again and again and again in this article to give a reader heretical teaching. So when I always write something, you know, don't just say, well, here's why. It's wrong. Well, here's why. That's the application. Well, here's something that maybe you believe, and let me show you from the scripture why it is. Maybe the Lord will go, hey, how about that? I guarantee you, all you've been saved, you might have believed something very early on in Christian life, and you change your view about things, right? Amen? I mean, like, wait a minute here. I mean, if you're like me, you know, I'm slow, but I'm not stupid, okay? I'm Polish guy. I'm a little slow, you know? So maybe you're faster than I am. But like, wait a minute here. You know, something, I thought I believed that. Wait a minute here. And then I kind of came along. I went, wow, I'm growing. That's just the way the Christian walk is, amen? So I try to lay down some rules. And these rules are very important because if you get these rules, and I've covered them before here, but I put them here, you won't fall into bad teaching. Make sure you're using a King James Bible, obviously. Law of context. Law of literal interpretation, law of rightly dividing the scripture, that's the key. 2 Timothy 2:15, you all know that, right? You know, very important. That's your good rule of sound doctrine is the perfect word of God, right there, King James Bible, and you divide, you know, I get verses for that, Psalm 12, 6-7, Matthew 24:3, and you rightly divide it, 2 Timothy 15, so you rightly divide the perfect word of God and the equal is sound doctrine. That's a great way of defining that. So, what is sound doctrine? Let me tell you, it's the perfect book while you divide it. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You know, a lot of times when you get something in the Bible, it's like, well, that was easy, right? Remember Harold Camping on Family Radio? Remember, I don't remember him. He was a Calvinist. Even his church drew him out. He was so far to the right, you know. But he had this date that the Lord's coming back. And I try to listen to it. And it was so confusing. I don't know if you've ever heard it. He's trying to explain. I'm like, What? I mean, it was so far, so many parts coming out of gripping. I couldn't grasp it. I'm like, he lost me in the very first 5 minutes. And he goes on for, well, this is why it's come back. And I go, what? That, it can't be. You knew it was wrong. Of course, he's wrong. But, you know, it's God's truth. Once it's revealed to you, the Lord secures him in your heart. Amen? Like that, you know he has some truth. You know what I'm saying? You just know that's true. I get that. You know, and by the way, the truth will make you free. Okay. There are more, but I'll go through them in the article. I'll show you how the author breaks most of these. In addition to another thing that you have, be careful of people doing the following. Adding words to a verse that are adding words to a verse that are not found to prove their theory or proposition. I'll show you that in the article. They add words to the scripture. Right? You're going to say, like, well, I can't believe this. This is a side note. When you get home, go to Google. I know Google here for Google. And write, how are people saved in the Old Testament? And just watch what comes down. I mean, I got some other things here. I mean, this is what is thought amongst, you know, here's the so-and-so, DHD, DD, you know, big people, all these, this many degrees they got. I mean, and the same thing over and over again. And I'll show you today how they're just kind of read someone else's stuff and just put it and repackage it. That's kind of interesting. Subtracting words from a verse to prove their point. Remove a verse from its context to make it mean anything you want it to mean. And the biggest trick is telling folks that they have to go to original autographs, which don't exist, to prove the Greek text that they don't have says somewhere you want to say from the verse. And it's a little verse, they do all that. So that's just, those are tricks of the tricksters. And you should know that as a mature believer. So I'm going to go through maybe just one of these if I have time. The first one's real important. Okay, so what I told this pastor, let's go through 8 verses here. Let's see their proof text, right? So I'll go through a couple here today and hopefully tomorrow. I'll tell you the reason why. Number one, this is, by the way, this first one is probably the most major one you'll find in Scripture that someone will give you. And it's found in Romans 4:3. Okay? Romans 4:3. And let me read that. I mean, this is what they quote. You go online, this is a very typical verse. Romans 4:3, it says, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. That's now remember now. Let's go back to the comment that he makes a presence. You can make the Bible say anything you want to say. You understand that? I mean, you understand that. Here's this first verse. How old are some people saved? They were saved the same way anyone saved, by faith. By trusting in that God would someday send a redeemer. Well, let's look at that verse in the context, okay? And as answered, saying they are saved the same way anyone saved by faith, trusting in the God who sent Savior. This statement is complete lack of biblical understanding of Old Testament and not supporting by any scripture whatsoever. I'll look at this. Look now what this author gives us for his proof text and get back to it. So here's this verse here, Romans 4:3. But let's look at its context. Remember one of the rules I quoted, context of what's quoted. Now, we go to Genesis 15:1-6. Let's look at the context. This verse is a real important part of Scripture. Genesis 15:1-6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceedingly great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? That's the question he asked. And the steward of my house is the Eleazar of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is neither heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thy heir. So here what the context is, hey, I have no children. And I got this illegitimate, child here. Hey, what's good? What do you give me? And he says, and he brought him forth and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. Oh, by the way, interesting that. It says, tell the stars. Isn't it something? That's a time note here. You don't tell a wall. It must be like a telling the stars, like it's a person. Get that? You ever hear about that? How it's worded? Tell the stars. You mentioned telling the house. It's like a, you know, you tell a person something with that living, breathing. A little side note there, but how that's worded, how it just fits into other, you know, things that are stars, so to speak, but that's not for today. If thou be able to number them, and he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. This is the verse they quoted in Romans 4:3. What did Abraham believe? That his seed would be as the stars of heaven, right? I mean, you get that. That's pretty easy to get, right? It wasn't at heaven. Nothing to do with God someday sending Redeemer. This is a picture of our salvation. We get that. I mean, there's a lot of types and as. It's a picture, but it's not, you know, it's doing what God said. To believe what God said is the key. And remember, God only gave him righteousness, not justification, more on that later. So the verse does not in any way, shape, or form prove the author's opening statement. The author pulled out of context to prove his opening heresy. That's a very important verse. Well, Abraham believed, and so we all believe the same way. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, in this article that he sent me, that question, there ain't one verse they show from the Old Testament. Ain't that something? You know, I side note, I went to a retreat up north, and we had a bunch of all men retreat, and you could sit down and talk and fellowship. And they go, hey, let's have a Bible study. Anyone have a question? So I kind of threw this out there. I go, hey, yeah, let me ask you a question. I said, if I was a 15-year-old boy and I was a non-Jew in the Old Testament, and I went to the priest, you know, back then, and let's say he had Genesis to Malachi, his hand, what would you show me from Old Testament how I can know I'm going to heaven? I asked that question. The long story short of it is, after a tremendous tumult, I didn't say anything. At next week in church, you go, Tim, don't ask any more questions. I'm serious. That's what I mean. They, because you know why? Because their round hole, my square thing, doesn't fit together. So I went, but that was a good question, and I didn't say anything. They couldn't answer among them. I was like, wait a minute here. And they, you know, I go, no. The rule is, all I had is Genesis. How would you answer that? Right? Think about that. It's 400 BC. You have you're a priest. You're coming in there. You're a Gentile. What would you do? You see, those are questions that people hate to ask. A smart person, honestly, ask good questions. You understand that? You want to get have a good discussion with somebody, real discussion. Just ask good questions, really. Because you know why? Because now you're getting in the thick, the converse, and now and a question. They're now telling what they actually believe. A lot of times, you know, I guess sometimes I want to go. But you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth, right? You know, so by asking good questions, that's what the Lord did. You know, remember? You know, well, tell us who's the great. He asked him a question. You know, John. Was he a prophet or was he not a prophet? You know, he already knew their hearts. I mean, he's a master of that, whatever. Like, oh, that's a bad question to ask. That'd be interesting. And they fade away. So that's a good thing to do is asking questions. Okay. Oh, I'm running out of time. Let's just quickly go to number two here. That number two question was, I'll get back to number one here. So this is a very key verse in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, where you can see that this is what people believe. They just, you know, look at what happened to Abraham and what, you know, he believed God, and that's before the law, obviously. You know, he believed God that he would have these stars as children like that there. That's a picture, obviously. Hindsight, we realize that God, obviously, I'll cover it, developed a nation out of that, right? And that nation came the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't know that back then. I mean, I, you know, that's why, you know, here we are with hindsight, and hindsight's always 20/20. If we had hindsight, we might have bought Apple stock in 1953. Like, I don't know if you heard a story, but a guy bought 10% of his stock, Apple stock for $800 and got nervous and turned it in. I got a regret here. It'd been worth like $37 billion a day. So, I mean, obviously, hindsight's always 20. You understand that. If you know, that car, oh, lemon man, if I'd known that, I'd end up with that car. Or fill in the blank. God does give us kind of we're in a great spot, the church. We have the scripture completed, and we have all this revelation put together in a book, all put right there. It's an amazing thing. And what's happened is it's actually churned because it's so perfect, we have everyone trying to critique it in a way, right? You know, it can't be that, you know, so that's what happens. Okay, I'm out of time to go to another one. So next week, Lord willing, if they still one. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through each one of these scriptures, and what I want to show you is what, you know, the guy's probably a saved guy. Good pastors, they really want to serve the Lord. But when it comes down to it, how they twist things, and I'll show you why. There's always a motivation behind it. And when you see the motivation behind it, the people don't even know it. They don't know that they're, well, this is not true, but what's the big deal? What's the big deal? What's the big deal if we don't know this today? It doesn't affect our salvation at all, correct? But there's reasons why God has it that way. It affects your relationship. I'll give you a hint. It affects things to come. So that's why God lays it down the line here so we can grow believers. Okay, questions on anything before I close on a word of prayer? Any questions on anything I covered? Just got kind of started today a little bit, but we're going to crank this thing next week, Lord willing. Okay, all right. Father in heaven, thank you. You know, thank you for the scripture you've given us, and thank you for knowing absolute truth. You can know things absolutely. Some things, they're a little gray in some areas, but we have absolute truth. We can know and say, thus saith the Lord, some things. Amen. Nice to be able to do that. That's real freedom there, Father. Thank you that I pray, even through this little Bible study, that folks would grow and be able to be strong in their position on things and be able to minister, you know, and be an ambassador for thee, O Lord. So thank you very much again for all that you are doing. But as we close here and we get more details tomorrow, may you be blessed and glorified with what is said and done. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.